This seance was recorded on January the 30th, 1973, medium Elizabeth Flynn.
Sitter, Rose Creed. Communicator, Dr. Charles Marshall. This tape recording is not a complete full-length recording of the original seance. Part of the seance was personal to Mrs. Creed, and only the general and interesting remarks made by Dr. Marshall have been re-recorded for replay.
Such a pity, when you think back, you know, when anyone for that matter thinks back, one realizes particularly how stupid it is for people to allow themselves to become, as it were, so affected by things such as creeds and dogma in particular. It narrows their vision, narrows their understanding, it makes them static.
That's the thing I can't understand at all.
The most terrible thing that can happen, in a sense, to an individual mentally is to be static,
yes.
To have a closed mind, not to be receptive, not even to accept or to listen. This seems to me extraordinary, that a person can allow themselves to become static. All life is so vast in its many, many fields and many aspects, and the truth is so tremendously wide in its concept. A person may have some aspect of truth, but it's only a minute particle. It's like a grain of sand in the desert. And
yes.
If only people realize the tremendous possibilities which lie ahead, if they only realize that which they have, which may give them great comfort, no one denies that, is only a particle of the reality. One doesn't want to stand still. Unfortunately, many people stand so still because of their background and upbringing, they do not want to adventure forth, as it were. Life is a great adventure.
Yes.
Many experiences which are necessary and essential to one's evolution and one's development, not only materially, but mentally and spiritually.
Yes, I know. I'm
surprised. I think one of the worst things that can ever happen to a person is to allow themselves to become sort of tied down by dogma and creed and all the rest of it. Unless a person's mind is free, they cannot assimilate truth and knowledge and experience. They're hampered, they're shackled to such an extent that I think this is one of the worst things, if not the worst thing that can happen to a soul, to a person. One must be free.
Yes,
freedom to express, freedom to assimilate truth, knowledge, experience.
She has great intelligence,
yes,
that ought to make her
a tragedy.
Free.
This is the tragedy.
I can't understand it.
I think it is that a lot of people are afraid. I think fear is the basis. They're afraid that it might be a bad thing for them to branch out or to spread their wings. They like to stay in the nest instead of spreading their wings.
Yes. Afraid. It's fear.
Very
fear of what they've been taught from childhood. That's what it
is. That's one of the most important things that one has to learn to throw overboard when you come here. For some people it's very difficult, and particularly people who've got strong religious convictions, I think they're the ones who find it most difficult. Sometimes I almost think it's better for a person to have no religious convictions. At least their minds are not cluttered up or shuttered up.
Oh, that's it.
And I think this is a tragedy. I've seen it so often with so many souls over here. They cannot quickly adjust themselves. They're so full of barriers which they've created, which have been created in some cases probably for them by background. It's difficult for them to shake off the old beliefs. They realize very quickly, some at least, that these things are not so. You know, there are some people, thank goodness, probably most people really, who soon begin to sort themselves out. They see that things do not apply. The fundamental truth which runs through all religions is like a vein which all religions have. This is all right, but I regret to say that so much is lost because people will not dig any deeper, they will not search, they will not seek. They're so afraid. I think creeds and dogmas have much to answer for.
Yes.
And they're mostly, if not all, man-made. That's the extraordinary thing about it. They're not things which were created in a spiritual sense by the power of the Spirit, by the manifestation of the Spirit. They were not things that were decreed by any entity. And indeed, the extraordinary thing is that most religions base their truths on a spiritual realization that has been given to them from so-called dead people. The extraordinary thing is that if it were not for instance, the return of the Christ after his death, there couldn't have been a Christian religion. He had to return to prove the reality of his survival after death. And all religions have this same theme, a life after death.
Yes.
And yet when you talk about these things to people, a lot of them shy away from it, as if it's something that one shouldn't discuss or delve into. So much fear, and yet the very basis of the things they accept are based on these truths which have been given from time immemorial to the earth by entities from this world.
But every religion has that belief.
I wish to goodness we could help more than we do. It's very sad sometimes when we look down and see the state of affairs in the old world and how much could have been changed if only people would realize these things of which we speak. The illness of the world, the mental and material illness of the world, is what man has brought upon himself. And the extraordinary thing is that vast numbers of these people, well-meaning, well-intentioned, often what you term religious by inclination or acceptance of religion by background and upbringing, they themselves are so caught up in materialism that their spiritual realization of things just doesn't function, doesn't seem to come to the surface, doesn't help them. They know many times things that they think and do are ill, are bad, and yet they have no courage of their conviction. The tragedy of your world is that man has not realized the reality of this truth of which we speak, which could change his whole being and way of life. People talk glibly about things, about spiritual things, but they keep them so separate and apart. Instead of utilizing those thoughts and putting them into action in their daily lives to change not only their own circumstance and condition, but also the whole world in consequence. It doesn't matter whether they're Catholics or Protestants, whether they're Christians or Buddhists or whatever they are. The whole point is that all humanity is caught up in the same realization of the ultimate, which is, of course, life after death. I mean, no one can escape it.
I think the earth life has ruined the actuality of spirituality. We should never have been born on the earth. It's being born on the earth that has spoilt life altogether. But it's
But then, my girl, you have to come into your world. It's a training ground, it's a schoolroom, it's necessary for the evolution of the individual. This is most important, and that's quite often why numerous souls return again and again to fulfill something which is important and essential, not only in their own evolution and development, but towards making some gesture towards others and helping them in their evolution and development. The earth world is important, but of course, the point is that man has no real balance, and this is a tragedy. One doesn't expect that everyone will walk around living 100% spiritual existence in the material world. I wouldn't suggest that that would be so or would even be possible, although nothing is impossible. But the point is that one should realize that one could have balance and live in a spiritual sense or be spiritually motivated.
But the earth life itself makes one lose balance. You can't help it.
Well, you say that, but that's not really so, in my opinion. I think that man has this inner awareness, this inner consciousness, and he has this spiritual faculty or spiritual ability, if you like, which is dormant, latent. The spirit is there in the material, physical body, bursting at the seams, as it were, trying to get out, trying to express itself, trying to make something out of the material. The substance of the spirit is such that it could overwhelm and it could overcome all the lesser and all the grosser aspects of materialism. But then, unfortunately, in most cases, he's not really aware of it to any extent. Or if he is, he's afraid of it. And he also looks upon the material world as being vitally, vitally important in a material sense, and is more concerned with materialism than anything else. And he loses balance. I think if there were balance between the two, if motivation of the spirit was such that it could be utilized in every aspect through the material, your whole world would be changed. There's nothing wrong with the fundamental world in itself. There's nothing wrong with the material aspect of life in nature and in the beauty of the world. It's what man is doing to it and what man has done to it in the past. You see, the point is that man has not yet gained the full realization of the power within. Of course, this is what all the great prophets and teachers and seers have talked about for centuries, generations. Man has got to learn what he is able to achieve, what he can do from within himself. It has been said that the power of God is within, which is true, that God is within. I mean, we use the term God. Of course, when we use that, people immediately, a lot of people think of some sort of peculiar, strange creature in the shape or form of man, but highly evolved, far from man in a sense, sitting on a white throne. I mean, God isn't a person in that sense. God has no shape, no form. God is a, as it were, if I use again this expression, this word God, God is infinite. God is a power which is beyond man's comprehension, but it is a living reality, a force which animates all life. Life is animated by the power of the spirit, power of the Godhead, if you like. I don't know how one would put this, for one to really understand it, but this is the part of man that should be developed and made, as it were, capable of overcoming the material. And if one realizes nothing is impossible, well then, I mean, take you and your own self. You have within yourself an inner awareness, a consciousness of these things of which we speak. You have great faith in consequence, and in consequence the faith which you have to some extent has helped to make you whole. I mean, you have faith in me, you have faith in Stephen, you have faith in innumerable souls on this side. You now have a renewed faith in your doctor. You see, this has also helped you. You've been given confidence, you see. You have learned confidence in those who are endeavouring to serve and endeavouring to help. This is what is so important, the positive aspect of thought of which I spoke about in the beginning. You have this positive attitude of mind in regard to this power of the spirit. Of course, there are times when you get a little down or a little depressed, circumstances are trying. Sometimes the material things seem rather overwhelming, but you still have the fundamental realization of these things of which we have spoken about for so long, that have enabled you to keep going, that have enabled you to, well, whatever the vicissitude or the difficulty or the problem, you've come through it. You see, if only people would realize the power within themselves is such that much can be overcome, much good can be achieved, much good can thrive in often circumstances where you think it's almost impossible. There's nothing impossible to the human being who has the faith and the realization of the power of the spirits. And you have that. Stephen has it, of course. Now, at first, when he first came, he was depressed, he was unhappy, he was earthbound, he was held down by, well, all manner and kind of thoughts and feelings which were not very elevating, they were very material. He's lost all that. He has found so much joy, so much happiness, so much achievement to be made. He's achieved a great deal already. You see, this is what is so important, that people should realize that the power within themselves is such that it can overcome everything. And there's no reason why anyone should not be able to achieve in some shape or form even things which perhaps on the surface seem or would seem impossible of achievement. Even when one perhaps, I mean, you can see in your world in various ways how people do overcome great disadvantages. I mean, there are people who perhaps are unable, for instance, to use their hands. Perhaps they've had some accident of birth or whatever, and they can learn to paint with their feet, using their feet as if they were hands. Now, this is in a sense, yes, perhaps not comparable, but what I'm trying to say is that if you have faith in yourself, in being able to achieve whatever it is that you want to achieve, if you have a positive thought about it and work to that goal, to that end, you will achieve. Nothing is impossible to those who really put everything they have into it. And in a spiritual sense, and this is the most important part, obviously, is that the achievement that can be brought into being by the power of the Spirit, the realization that you can do, you can achieve, you can overcome, the power of the Spirit could transform the whole of the earth world into something which is beyond your imagination. Man creates havoc. Man creates misery all around and about him in your world through stupidity of thought and stupidity of action. Stupid things, terrible things ensue because man is himself, unfortunately, in most instances, caught up in such a material way with material things, putting them first. If only there were balance between the mental and the spiritual and the material in every human being, particularly those in high places who are in a position to create, if they wish, so much good for the world, but often they create havoc and misery and they lose balance. You see, balance is my operative word, you might say, today in regard to everything. We do not expect perfection from the people of the earth. Why should we? We're not perfect ourselves. We're all striving for something a little more, a little better, a little wiser, a little more understanding, a little more realization of truth. All these steps, and now steps in the right direction, they may sometimes seem slow and labored. We don't gain perhaps a great deal too quickly, but we learn slowly but surely, and we gain confidence en route. I just feel that the tragedy of your world is that man has not found balance between the spirit and the material. There should be this driving force of the spirit in the material, in every aspect of life, whether it's in politics, whether it's in religion, whether it's in personal relationships with friends or relations. Balance, balance, balance. Realization, the power of love, particularly, makes all things possible, will overcome all things. May not always seem to at the time, but in the end, in the long run, this is the important thing, you'll find that love itself will overcome all the errors of man, one's got to give oneself, absolutely give oneself in love and in service. Forget self in service and you'll begin to find your real self. This is another thing that people don't realize. If you lose yourself in love, in serving and helping, thinking of others, giving of yourself as best you can, you may get hurt sometimes in the process. Yes, of course. And you'll have disappointments and perhaps some disillusionments here and there with individuals who are weak and stupid and foolish. But the point is that love is the only thing that really matters. It is love that opens all the doors of knowledge and experience that makes all things possible. I wish sometimes people would realize what the power of love can do, what it can achieve. One must give oneself completely and absolutely in love. That's what we do. And we find great joy and happiness and service in helping those best fortunate, bringing enlightenment, strengthening them when they're down and depressed, helping them to see the reality of truth, and thereby climbing out of the mire and finding a real sound footing so that they can forge ahead and find joy and happiness as we found. You know, Rose, only people understood this spiritualism, as they call it. They only understood it and practiced it. That's the trouble. So few understand, and those that do often don't practice. You see, unless we change people, unless we make them better, unless we can uplift them, take them out of the mire of materialism, unless we can make them stronger spiritually and mentally, then we'll not achieve very much. We know how important it is for people to be comforted, and we try to comfort people. We give them evidence, we give them conviction, and in many cases save them perhaps even from suicide. But the point is that very few people ever realize what it's all about. They're quite happy to scratch the surface, don't dig very deeply. As long as they're helped over a stile for the time being, then they go sailing along in the old material way. We want so much to make people realize the implications of what we're talking about. But sometimes I feel that we fail. Well, I say we fail, they fail themselves. The people, I mean. But you know, those.
Yes.
Though we don't have many opportunities these days to talk together, I always want you to know that I'm near you. And whenever you send out your thoughts to me, and sometimes I hear you mentally say, "Where are you, dear doctor?" Well, I'm often there.
Anyway, I wish I could hear it.
I've spoken much longer than I intended, and I did want Steve to have a word with you. I think that now perhaps. Perhaps I don't know quite whether the medium's getting reorganized or what he's doing. He seems a bit of a mess. But still, I hope that you'll be able to come at least once a week.
Well, anyway, I hope so, Doctor.
You must get him to sort himself out. Are you listening?
Yes.
Well, then do something about it. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Doctor. Thank you for your lecture.
Peter, I'll go on, honey.
You can't get in a word.